fleet of them. Look on the ASA. Oh my gosh. They're all going against the wind.
It was basically a cube with inside of a sphere where the points of the cube were touching outside of the sphere.
So this isn't anything that just is limited to the United States. It's a worldwide phenomenon.
That UFO podcast is powered by Zencastr. Zencastr is one of the world's leading platforms for recording and hosting podcasts. The open beta strives to put the power of studio quality remote video production into the hands of anyone with a story to tell. Features include HD video recording, studio quality sound, chat and footnotes. All running right from your browser so you can record from anywhere without ever installing anything. Check out the links in the show description to find out more.
This is James Fox and you're listening to That UFO Podcast.
Was there a leaning that this was potentially extraterrestrial in origin? Or were they leaning towards a more man-made explanation, potentially?
Well, it was said, I tend to stress it was said, because I really did not have the possibility to see it, to read it. It was said that a possible ET origin of this phenomenon could not be completely ruled out. So this is what it was said, and please take it for at face value, because I do not know if this is true. But this is what I heard in some occasion, I heard this story. So I refer this, but again, this is something that I cannot confirm myself.
No, of course. And you work within government yourself. What sort of conversations can or do you have about the subject with your colleagues? Do they entertain the notion?
Well, you see, I work for the Italian Ministry of Foreign Affairs, which typically only deals with the terrestrial powers.
Okay.
I'm joking, but I mean, I'm half percent joking, half percent serious, in the sense that, of course, this is, I mean, my interest for the UFO / ET subject has nothing to do with my work. Yes, with my colleague, I mean, they know my interest, and sometimes they like to hear to what I have to tell them. But as I said before, concerning the Italian media, I also, from their reaction, I can see that the whole subject is being taken and considered more and more seriously in Italy.
And that's wonderful to hear. Paolo, how did you now come to be involved with ICER as an organization?
Well, first of all, I started my involvement within the ufological activities with the Centro Ufologico Nazionale. Centro Ufologico Nazionale, I am a member since 2008, and I am the responsible for the foreign contacts, of course, in the Centro Ufologico. And I was... I was nominated by Roberto Pinotti, who is now the president of the, not only of the Centro Ufologico, but also of ICER. I was nominated by him and to be the Italian representative. I was accepted by the others, and that was in the beginning. In fact, I am one of the founders. My number is 7, and I said, can I add two zeros? They said, no, you are 7. Anyway, So this is how I became involved with ICER.
Now, why is it important to have an organization like ICER on the world stage?
It is important because, first of all, the private research on the UFO phenomenon has never seen an international organization. So there were many organizations in Italy, in the UK, in the US, in France, in Spain, you name it. But there wasn't any truly international organization to privately study the UFO phenomenon. So I think this is important because we know the UFO or UAP subject as a phenomenon, as you prefer, is indeed a truly worldwide phenomenon. So why not an international organization rooted in many countries of this planet to study? And also, it is the time, in my opinion, to have the research on the UFO subject, on the UFO phenomenon, in private hands, because until now, and of course this is still going on, the research and all the informations on the UFO phenomenon, or UAP if you prefer, are monopoly of the military / of the intelligence. And so, as long as we go on this way, we will never arrive anywhere, because each one will, of course, continue to study privately on his own without sharing anything, keeping everything under heavy, heavy secrecy, and so on. So this is why there is a real need for a change of, change of gear in this, in the research, in the private research on the UFO phenomenon. And ICER wants to be exactly this.
I'm sure for many years, you and your colleagues at ICER have had an eye on the United States and the happenings over there, starting with To the Stars Academy of Arts and Science in 2017, and now further efforts by Luis Elizondo, Christopher Mellon, and others to bring the conversation to the public. What have you learned from their attempts to move this conversation forward?
Well, the first thing I can say is that they are really sincere, in my opinion. I had the possibility to interact with Lou Elizondo quite extensively during the last San Marino Congress. And I can tell he's really a honest person, sincere guy, sincerely doing what he can for the cause, so to speak. And this term, the cause, is the one that he himself uses frequently. And I can say that, in my opinion, what is happening now in the U.S., is due to the action of President Trump, not because he was interested in the subject and wanted disclosure to happen. No, not at all. But what he did is that he removed a lot of top officers in the army, in the military, and in the intelligence. So if this is true, that in the military / intelligence complex, there have always been two factions, one pro-disclosure and the other against disclosure, while the faction that was against disclosure has always been the majority, the vast majority, so that no disclosure could ever happen. So if this was true, then what President Trump has done has actually sprung the door open for the, until now, minority, which was in favor of disclosure, so that finally they could start acting. So in my opinion, nowadays we have the duo of Lou Elizondo with Chris Mellon, who are the two frontmen of this, while we have a number of high-level officers or top-level officers maybe in service in the military / intelligence community, who are those who, how can I say, may make this process of disclosure possible. And I say process because now it's almost 3 years that it's been going on, and we can see that there, I mean, judging by how things developed in starting from December 9, 2017, we can see and we can understand that there is indeed there is indeed a plan for this, and it's not something that is happening just by chance. No. It's my opinion, and I think this can be, not just my opinion, but how the way go, that, I mean, there is a plan for disclosure, and they are for a gradual, of course, process of disclosure, and they are acting according to this plan. So very likely, I suppose, that in a few months we will see something more. And I dare to foresee that maybe the next important event on this plan could be on the development of this plan could be the fact that that the U.S. government takes into consideration the possibility that these devices are actually ET-made devices, or that the extraterrestrial hypothesis, the ETH, is actually being considered by the U.S. government. So I think this could be, I mean, this is my, a forecast. I dare to formulate, but I mean, in any case, what I want to say, I mean, what we are, as the events at which we are assisting nowadays, they are not casual. I mean, they are not by hazard. They are not. They are enacted following a specific plan.
Sure, they are by design, I think, is definitely by. Looking likely. Now, on October 8th, ISA released a press release to confirm that on the 13th of September, a small delegation with members of the CUN and basically presented documentation to a member of the San Marino, Minister of Culture for San Marino, Andrea Belluzzi, documentation pertaining to Project Titan. Now, you are looking essentially to use the country of San Marino to take this notion of UFOs to the UN, which should be a lofty change for the conversation. Why San Marino? Why San Marino as the vessel?
Yes, there's a very, very specific reason for this. So now I would like to make clear. Now let's stop talking of the US. And now let's start talking about this initiative, which has been called the Project Titan. Not to be confused with the Project Titan of Apple, which is a project meant to prepare to create, if I remember well, an autonomous drive vehicle. So that's another matter. So this Project Titan, or Progetto Titano in Italian, is formulated jointly by the Centro Ufologico Nazionale and the ICER to invite San Marino to to the San Marino government to propose the United Nations project for the establishment within the UN structure of an office, something small, nothing big, of an office tasked with the organization of a periodic world conference under the aegis of the United Nations on the state of the studies on the UFO phenomenon to be held in the Republic of San Marino. So this is basically the project. This is basically what the Project Titan is for. And so, of course, why San Marino? There are some good reasons for this. San Marino, first of all, is not at all... San Marino is being... wait, I must find the proper English words. I'm sorry, but it's not my mother tongue. So I have to... San Marino is not stranger to the UFO or UAP phenomenon because it has hosted 30 editions of the Congress of the World Symposium on UFOs and related phenomena. So it's not, it's 30 edition, which is not, it's quite a considerable number. San Marino has been the first state in Europe to devote a stamp on the UFO subject, and nowadays they have devoted two stamps to the UFO phenomenon. San Marino is a neutral state, and they are proud of their neutrality. Knowing that their neutrality makes the small republic an ideal place for meeting, for dialogue. So what better of this? San Marino could really become the Geneva for the UFOs, actually. And I'm confident that the government of San Marino will appreciate the importance of this. Because this is going something which, if they approve it, of course they will have to do quite an effort to organize this. But this is something that from this they could greatly benefit in terms of spreading the knowledge of the small republic in the world, in terms of tourism, in terms of international stand of the republic. Because of course they could do, with this initiative they would do an action which has a great merit for the whole world, actually. It's not exaggerated to tell this. So, and this is why San Marino was also chosen because, of course, we have contact with the government. The Centro Ufologico Nazionale, of course, has contacts with the San Marino government. So, but the most important thing is that, San Marino is no strangers to the UFO, not at all. So this is, and also, as I said before, he is very proud of its independence and neutrality. So I don't see a better place for this kind of event, for a world conference on the studies on the UFO phenomenon, to be held in San Marino, to have everyone who is interested in studying the phenomenon, be that UN specialized agencies, be there specialized entities of governmental bodies of UN member states, be that international organizations like ICER, for instance, or private organizations like the MUFON or others, I mean, or CSU and so on. So, I mean, this is why we think that San Marino is the perfect place to become, I mean, and it's really, could really become the Geneva of the UFO. I like very much to use this term, and I'm confident that they will appreciate the importance of this proposal.
Absolutely. That makes sense, that it's a nation that maybe doesn't have as much to lose in terms of reputation, not to mean that offensively, that a Italy, a Germany, a United Kingdom would bring in these conversations forward, who potentially would rather sit back and allow someone else to broach that subject. And it's a very brave thing to do. I would ask, if Project Titan was successful in securing an office within the UN for the study of UAP, would you be hoping for access to historic governmental data, or would you see it as a fresh start and a point to which move forward from?
Well, originally what the project foresee is the creation of a small office within the United Nations structure, but this office is just tasked with the organization of this conference. So, it's not like in 1978 with the Grenada initiative. The Grenada initiative was meant to create a full body for specifically the study of the UFO phenomenon. I mean, it was a proposal for something big, actually big. What this project foresee is a small structure. I mean, the smallest as possible, not to use too much resources. I mean, of the UN budget, but a small office meant to organize this world conference, and this world conference would be held within San Marino, within the territory of the Republic. So, I mean, it's not an office that has to study anything. No. The office is should be in charge of this, of the organization of this conference. And the conference would be meant to assess the quality and the level of studies on the UFO phenomenon. And of course, would also function as a place of discussion, of exchange of ideas, of exchange of diffusion of knowledge previously owned by single states or single organization, and a platform to propose new ideas also for the study of the phenomenon, and last but not least, a way to instruct the public on the reality of the phenomenon and what is being done to study it properly. You see? So, by the way, Andy, I take the opportunity to make a connection with 1978 Grenada Initiative. There is one thing which is sometimes needs to be properly spelled out, so to speak. I often heard saying that the Grenada Initiative just was aborted when there was the coup d'état, when the regime of Sergeri was overthrown by Bishop. So. And then the proposal of Grenada was hanging there and could not be properly discussed and so on. No, this is not correct, because formally speaking, I mean, from a formal point of view, the Grenada proposal I'm speaking of the Grenada proposal of 1978, because Grenada proposed made another proposal the year before. In any case, what is more important is that the Grenada proposal of 1978 indeed made its complete how do you say in English, ITER, was formally was formally completed. I mean, because the Grenada presented its proposal. The proposal was assigned by the UN Secretary General Office to be discussed in the Special Political Committee. The Special Political Committee met at least three times that year to discuss this item. And then the Special Political Committee, at the end of discussion, recommended that the UN General Assembly voted this proposal. The proposal then went to the General Assembly and was approved by consensus. So the formal the whole process of this proposal was completed. I mean, there was nothing left hanging, so to speak.
Sure.
So what remained actually hanging is the spirit of the proposal, not the formal proposal itself. I mean, it is important because it's an important distinction to do. It's the original spirit of which led to this proposal, which is still nowadays hanging. And ideally, this project Titan wants to reconnect to the spirit of this, not to the formal request, because that's another story. But the spirit of it is to bring the subject, the phenomenon of UFO, to the attention of the United Nations. So this is something that ICER is one of the stated intentions of ICER, to bring the discussion on UFOs to the highest level of political debate.
That's a wonderful notion, and one we look forward to hopefully being seen through to its fullest potential. You've been very generous with your time, but I'd like just a few more minutes to go through just a couple of listener questions
that
have been sent in for you, Paolo. The first one is from Mike, and Mike wants to know, are there some significant players in this subject of whom the general public might not be aware of that maybe want to remain anonymous but are working in the background?
Concerning to what specifically?
So with yourself, with your colleagues at ICER, is it all very much public facing, or are there individuals helping that don't want to be their participation to be known?
Concerning ICER, we are mostly ourselves. We don't have anyone working in the shadow. But we prefer to be as public as possible, because this is one of the stated also this one. Well, I would say this is another of the ICER's stated intention, to be as much as public as possible.
And I'll just follow up then on Mike's behalf, because I think he may be also be getting at, are there individuals potentially within the Italian government or intelligence communities like a Luis Elizondo who are working for the betterment of this subject?
But I can tell you, concerning the Italian side, nothing. I can tell you for sure that I have no contact myself with no one who can be in a position of helping in the shadow and so on. So the reply, as long as Italy is concerned, is no.
So at the moment, you would be our Luis Elizondo, Paulo, which is more than good enough for us, it looks like. Dan would like to know, what are some of the obstacles that could prevent Project Titan from succeeding?
One thing that I fear, the thing that I fear most is that the San Marino, the government of San Marino, could find that this is maybe something which is a bit too much for them. I mean, let's be clear. I'm just speculating. I really hope that they will appreciate and understand and appreciate the importance of this initiative for, of course, for the cause, which is something which is interesting for us, and for San Marino itself, which is something which interests to them as the government of the Republic. So, how can I say... I think this is very likely the most foreseeable problem which we could face. This is why the project states very clearly that ICER and the Centro Ufologico Nazionale will support the government of San Marino for anything which could be necessary, specifically on the ufological side, and also on the procedural side in case. But what is most important, of course, is that they are properly helped in those matters that rely properly to the UFO phenomenon, because of course this is something very specialized that which needs a specific support on this. So I mean, this is the only problem that I really can foresee, and I hope that of course we will be more than willing to. Again, I want to stress it once more: we are more than willing to support them as ICER, joining forces with the Centro Ufologico Nazionale. So these two bodies, we will be more than happy to support them as in any way it may be necessary.
Do you have a plan B for Project Titan if the San Marino initiative falls through?
It's 100% yes, but I prefer not to say anything for the moment. I mean, we have a certain idea of what to do in case the reply of San Marino would be negative. But for the moment, I prefer to say nothing, because it's nothing. It's just a basic idea, but nothing concrete.
Hopefully nothing we have to use, and hopefully it goes through as planned.
I really hope so. I really hope so, because I would really like very much to see San Marino, as I told you before, become the Geneva of the UFO, a place where people of any specialist of any kind meet, discuss, and exchange information, exchange idea, present new initiatives, present new ideas also, and so on. So, I mean, that would be fantastic. And it would be a natural extension of the 30 years of symposium on UFO symposium that we have organized as the Centro Ufologico Nazionale because these symposia, which were organized for 30 edition, were always under the sponsorship of the San Marino government. They were organized by the Centro Ufologico, and they were under the sponsorship of the San Marino government. So you see, this is important, and I mean, you can understand. This is I see it very well as a natural extension of this activity that we are doing since 3 decades. I mean,
and a nice question, Paolo, to finish up on from Dave. Do you think the international approach will improve the chances for a quicker disclosure timeline than perhaps may be the case if it was led by one nation, such as the United States?
Definitely so. I do agree with Dave. Absolutely, absolutely. We must, and this is one of the basic reason for ICER. It's as I said before, and I like to repeat it now. I mean, ICER is the first or international organization of this kind, and because we think that ICER is, a necessary step. I mean, not specifically ICER, but it is necessary to start bringing the discussion on the UFO subject, on the UFO phenomenon, at the dimension of the international level. This is absolutely necessary because each state, each nation goes on his own, under the military intelligence leadership, to study UFOs, of course, keeping everything they know under heavy secret and so on, we will never go anywhere. We will never have any chance of improving our knowledge and having actually a real disclosure.
Paolo, can you let the listeners and the viewers on YouTube who will be watching know how you and your colleagues can be found online? Where can they find your work?
Yes, of course. Well, I have a website which is mostly in Italy, in Italian, because and until now my UFO related activity has been within the national boundaries of Italy, so to speak, because most of my activity was of translating UFO documents relevant to the UFO research, translated into Italian and published into my website. So I have this website where I have published a lot of great number of translations, but they are translations into Italian. So I think that could not be of a great utility to English speaking persons. So, but I have a Twitter account which is, I'm trying to internationalize it as much as possible nowadays with my ICER activity. And this is Paolo Guiz, Paolo Guiz 56. Paolo Guiz 56. This is my Twitter account. And this is the one I'm using. I'm not using Facebook, at least at the moment. And so this is my main contact at the moment. It's the social media I use the most, for at least for the moment. Then I'm planning to put up a properly done Facebook page, but having to work.
Yes, I know the feeling.
The time I have to devote myself to this is really, really rather limited. So for the moment, I only use Twitter.
And you can also find ICER's work at ICER.network, which is the ICER website well, if anyone wants to go in and check that out.
That's more international, yes, and exactly. ICER.network, this is the website. At the moment is not well, because we officially announced ourselves publicly in June, in May, end of May. So it's just a few months that ICER exists. So there are still a good amount of things that needs to be fixed, to be properly done. And one of these is the website, which is not yet prepared as we would like, but of course it takes time and it takes effort, and But in any case, we are 28 now. We are 28 national representatives all scattered all over the world, and each representative has a deputy. So we are more than 57 persons in this group. And but we have I mean, I can tell you this: for the moment, we do not have those many resources, especially on the financial kind. But we do have a lot of ideas, and we want to turn these ideas into realities.
That is all for this week's show. Thank you very much for listening. Please remember to leave the podcast a review on your chosen platform. You can like, retweet and subscribe. That would all be very much appreciated. The shows are being uploaded onto YouTube as we speak more and more. You can sign up at patreon.com/thatufopodcast to access the shows ad-free as well. Please get in touch on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, That UFO Podcast. Of course, on Twitter, it's @UFOUAPAM. And again, folks, as always, keep looking up. You never know what you might see.
It wasn't a tic-tac and not quite a saucer. More like a hubcap designed by Chaucer. A little baroque and quite steampunk. Like Alice was playing bass for the Parliament of Funk. The little fucker hovered right outside of my window. And when I shut out the screen, he made it an issue. I don't think he expected me to see his ass. But I'd had some champagne and smoked a little rat. Meditated game of fateful on meta. Can't imagine how it could have been any better. I got to the top of the stairs and there he was. Like, you awake? I was about to abduct you, cuz. I jumped back and nearly kissed myself. Then I climbed out the window after the elf. And I woke up in my bed and there was something on my head. And everything was weird and everything was red. I called out to my boys. They thought this was noise. They thought it was a dream. They thought it was my toys. They thought it was my problems. And they think I should seek therapy. And I don't know what it is because it doesn't really scare me. Consider your space, consider your lies, consider your life.